Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
We bring in a great friend, Robert O'Brien, former national security advisor in the Trump administration. He's now the chairman of American Global Strategies. And if a Republican wins in 2024, hopefully, Robert O'Brien will be the next Secretary of State. Okay, that's my forecast. Better than interest rates. O'Brien, Secretary of State. Anyway, Robert, welcome. It was good to see you two nights ago. It was good to see Lo Marie. You guys both look great, so that was good. Thank you for the tweet. I appreciate it very much. And you got to help us now. Ukraine, Russia, I don't understand this. Russia's annexing the four regions of the Ukraine, but the Ukrainian counteroffensive is taking them back one way or another. So then Putin is now saber-rattling, nuclear saber-rattling. Can you give us an update? What is really going on over there?
Well, I will, Larry, but first I want to congratulate you on receiving the Buckley Award on Thursday night. It was well-deserved. There's no one who's been more since Bill Buckley passed, unfortunately. There's been no one who's supported free men and free markets the way you have, and Judy's backed you up, and your acceptance speech was just magic. So for the listeners, if you get a chance to go to National Review online and listen to Larry's speech, it was one of the great speeches of all time. So
thank you
for inviting us. It was an honor to be there, and congratulations on the big award. Look, what we've got going on in Russia right now and Ukraine is really interesting. The Ukrainians have shown a fighting spirit and a boldness and a daring that we haven't seen. And this is a war in which Ukraine hasn't asked for U.S. troops. They've taken on the Russians themselves, and they've defeated them handily. And that defeat continues, and it's going to become a very dangerous time as Putin realizes the extent of the damage to his forces in Ukraine. And there seems to be no end in sight to the offensive that the Ukrainians are prosecuting right now, especially in the northeast. They've just encircled today the town of a village of Lyman. It's a little bit bigger than a village. It's about 20,000 people pre-war. And they're moving on. So I think the Russians are going to continue to have a hard time. I think America and the West have done a great job. And after having failed to deter Russia from invading Ukraine, which was a failure, we've partially made up for that by supplying the Ukrainians with the weapons and platforms they need to defeat the Russians. And so this is we're watching history in the making here.
Robert, how can Putin annex these areas, these provinces, where the Ukrainians are taking them back? That's the part I don't understand. And the Red Army is done so badly. Even the Navy is in retreat down in the southern part. I mean, there's a chance that the Ukrainians could retake Crimea at some point. I don't understand Putin's game. What does he think he's doing? Who does he think he's kidding?
Well, he's not kidding his own people. You've seen hundreds of thousands of young people fleeing Russia, going to places like Kazakhstan and Georgia and Moldova, not traditional tourist spots, to avoid being conscripted and being sent into the meat grinder that's now become Ukraine for the Russian army. So he's not fooling anyone. The Ukrainians certainly have shown what they think of his annexation by their conduct. And I think the entire world is opposed to it, even China and Russia, which have been friendly to China and India, which have been friendly to Russia in the past, are not adopting or recognizing the annexation. So I think Putin's in a difficult spot. I mean, the one thing we want to be careful about is that he doesn't use nuclear weapons. And so that's where our whole Ronald Reagan peace through strength comes into play. We've got to make sure he understands that would be a red line. He's given a lot of red lines so far. It's time for us to give a red line. That's a Russian nuclear attack in Ukraine or anywhere else in the West would be, could do a devastating response and just to the Russian economy alone, much less what our military response might be.
Do you think, this nuclear saber rattling, I mean, what do you make of that? I mean, the reason I ask it like this is because it just seems, you know, the use of nuclear power is so off the charts. It's so over the edge. It's almost unimaginable. And so the question is, what does he mean by that? And then what should our response be to this? And have we done enough in our response?
Well, I think him rattling the nuclear saber shows a level of desperation that, that we haven't seen. I mean, he's the Russians have always talked about their nuclear arsenal because that's what makes them a great power. They don't have a lot other than their nukes to put them in the great power club. But you don't use nukes. And I think if Russia used a nuclear weapon, Putin's own people might not, his own generals might not follow his orders. Because that really is letting the genie out of the bottle that no one wants to see happen. Mm. Number two, I think Russia would be entirely decoupled from the world. I think China and its allies in Asia, even countries that are friendly to Russia, would immediately disavow them. They'd be entirely decoupled from the world market. No one would buy their oil or their fuel. Mm. It would really be the end of Russia. So I think Putin's got to think long and hard about it, and I'm not sure his own people would execute such an order. The other issue is, what's he going to use the nukes on? I mean, is he going to just take out a major Ukrainian city to demonstrate that he can kill these mass murderer? I mean, there's no tactical advantage to using a nuclear weapon in this type of warfare. So I think it's unlikely, but I think we also have to stand up to the bullying and let him know that sort of talk is unacceptable, and the entire world will condemn him. He'll be known in history as a war criminal, you know, in the same breath as Hitler and Stalin.
Mm. Has the United States and NATO made this adequately clear? What would happen if he used nuclear weapon?
No, and look, part of the problem is we've been weak on our sanctions with Russia. The sanctions sound strong, but they're really half measures. So, I mean, Russia's making money on this war because of the price of oil being so high. Putin's personally making money, and Russia's making money on the war, notwithstanding how bad it's going for them militarily. And so, you called for this, Larry, and it shows I was on with you 7 or 8 months ago when you said we have to the way to stop the Russians is to fully sanction the Russian Federation Central Bank. And to stop them from doing any oil and gas transactions, and that would probably, if they knew that was coming, that would probably have deterred the invasion. But we didn't do that because everyone's afraid of provoking Putin. I think we've gotten better on that front, but we need to be stronger and show it. Like, the Russians respect strength, and that's what we need to show here. And we need to let them know that if there was an escalation, it would literally be the end of the economy in Russia, and we've got other things up our sleeve to respond as well.
You mentioned China before, also India, but reports suggest China is backing away from Putin and the Ukraine invasion. Now, those two guys met, Xi and Putin met, what, last week? What do you make of that? What came out of that?
Well, look, I think the Chinese have been very disappointed by what they've seen in Ukraine because China wants to do the same thing in Taiwan. And they've seen the world rally to Ukraine. They've watched Finland and Sweden join NATO. I think they're concerned that if they invaded Taiwan now, that you might have a similar response in the Indo-Pacific region where the Quad, our relationship that you were very involved in, Larry, on the economic front between India, Japan, Australia, and the U.S., could go from an economic and diplomatic club to a military club, something like akin to a NATO in the Indo-Pacific. They've also seen the Russians. Xi's watched how the lack of capacity of the Russian army. And, up until now, the Russian army has been training the Chinese. The Chinese haven't been involved in a war for many years, since Vietnam in 1978. And I think they thought the Russians were the gold standard when it came to military proficiency. And they're now seeing, wait a minute, maybe all the things we learned from the Russians aren't going to help us. Mm. And so I think Xi's getting very nervous about what he's seen in Crimea, and his unlimited partnership with Putin is starting to look a little more shaky than it was before. And then keep in mind the last thing, Larry, is, and we've talked about this on your show as well, you know, Xi is vowed to reverse the century of humiliation where foreign powers took Chinese land and territory, or territory that the Chinese believed was theirs. The Russians are sitting on thousands and thousands of miles of Chinese territory that they took from the the one-sided Treaty of Peking in 1860 and 1864. So he may be looking at the Russians as being so weak now that he can get some of that land back for China. So I don't think that partnership is as unlimited as they said it was back at the time of the Olympics.
And one last one, just for the last minute, Robert O'Brien. Biden has said numerous times that if China invaded Taiwan, the U.S. would defend Taiwan. Then what always happens is all these anonymous voices coming out of national security and elsewhere walk it back. They keep walking it back. Biden keeps saying it, and they keep walking it back. What is this all about?
Well, so Larry, you were much more senior than I was. I was just an intern in the Reagan administration. But you remember the old saying when we used to say, "Hey, let Reagan be
yes,
Reagan."
Yes. Yes.
Whoever thought we'd be saying on the right, "Let Biden be Biden." But it's embarrassing for the president. I mean, I think we don't see much of the old Scranton Joe, but I think this is the old Scranton Joe where he understands that. That we can't allow Taiwan to fall for economic reasons and our semiconductor industry, but also for geopolitical reasons. And every time he says that, his staff runs out and walks it back. So maybe it's time for us all to start out, get a bumper sticker that says "Let Biden be Biden."
I know.
When it comes to this issue on foreign policy.
I mean,
it's embarrassing for the president to have this happen.
Exactly. I mean, of all the fruit salad statements that come out of Biden, this is the best thing he said in 2 years. Really, it's the only good thing he said.
100%.
And his people keep walking it back. And his instincts are good on this. For Christ's sakes.
No,
it's the first thing I've heard good from him in 2 years.
No, you and I are in total agreement on that one. And again, this is the sort of thing that doesn't help us vis-a-vis our adversaries when he's trying to deter China. And I think what happened is he saw that it didn't work. Remember, and he talked about the Russians, if they just made a minor incursion into Ukraine, that would be okay. And that's the sort of thing that encouraged Putin.
Right.
I think he's trying to fix that now, and he's trying to deter China. And that's something we should certainly applaud, but his staff certainly doesn't like it.
Right.
Can you imagine the Trump administration if you or I tried to do that, not once, not twice, not three times, but four times, went out to the sticks to the press and said, "Hey, what the president said, that's not our policy."
He would fire us. He would fire us.
That wouldn't have gone over very well.
you'd be gone before you walked back into the lobby.
You'd be walking out on West Exec with your boxes in your hand.
And, all right. Robert O'Brien, you are the best of the best. We got to get you back on the TV show, too. Anyway, it was great seeing you this week.
Looking forward to it. God bless you, Larry.
Thank you. God bless you.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.